Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Welcome to We Empower, the radio show that inspires you to embrace your potential, resilience, and strength. In these challenging times, we're here to help you unlock your power to overcome obstacles, pursue your dreams, and shape a brighter future. I'm Anna Martinez, your host for this empowering hour. Welcome, everyone, to another exciting episode of We Empower. I'm thrilled to have you all with us today, so sit back, relax, and get ready to be inspired. Let's make today count. In today's episode, we'll be diving into recapping a few standout moments from the previous week before treating you to a song that hints at the intriguing personality of our special guest for today. Joining us today is Antonia, who will be sharing inspirational insights with us. So following that, I will introduce you to a very special book. To wrap things up, we will open the floor to one of your questions. So let's dive first into past week. So some global highlights of the week. Historic win for diversity in academia. This week, Harvard University announced that for the first time in its history, over 50% of its incoming freshman class identifies as a minority. This milestone highlights the university's ongoing efforts to create a more inclusive environment. This is a significant step towards representing the diverse fabric of our nation, said Harvard President Lawrence Baker. Groundbreaking legal victory for women's rights in Japan. In a landmark ruling, Japan's Supreme Court recognized a woman's right to return her maiden name after marriage. This decision marks a significant departure from traditional norms and promotes gender equality in legal identity. According to a survey by Japan's cabinet office, 70% of Japanese citizens support the right for women to keep their maiden names. This ruling empowers women and reflects our evolving social values, says advocate Yoko Yasegawa. Equality in pay. UK companies make strides. A new report from the UK's Office for National Statistics reveals that the gender pay gap among full-time employees has fallen to 7.4%, the lowest on record. This progress attributed to increased transparency and legislative measures. Democracy in action. Record voter turnout in Mexico. Mexico saw a historic voter turnout in its recent gubernatorial elections, with 63 of eligible voters casting their ballots. This marks the highest participation rate in the country's history. Catalonia's push for self-determination intensifies. Catalonia's regional parliament voted overwhelmingly to pursue another referendum on independence from Spain. This decision recognized a long-standing debate over regional autonomy. A recent poll shows 52% of Catalans support independence. Diversity in the tech industry, Google's new initiatives. Google announced a $150 million investment in diversity initiatives, aiming to increase the representation of minorities in tech roles by 2025. The company's latest diversity report shows that 48% of new hires in the US last year were from underrepresented groups. Diversity drives innovation, and we are committed to fostering an inclusive workplace, said CEO Sundar Pichai. Women's rights, progress in Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia appointed its first female ambassador to represent the kingdom in Norway, marking a significant step in women's empowerment. This move is part of a broader reforms under Vision 2030, aimed at increasing women's participation in the workforce to 30% by 2030. Australia's corporate boardrooms. Australia's ASX 200 companies have reached milestones, with Moomin now holding 30% of board positions. This achievement follows years of advocacy and regulatory pressure to improve gender diversity and corporate governance. And New Zealand, Ingenious Rights in New Zealand. New Zealand's government announced a significant policy shift, granting a greater autonomy to Maori tribes over their land and resources. This move aims to rectify historical injustices and promote self-determination. This is a crucial step towards honoring our commitments to the Maori people, said Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern. So, last but not least, we step into Scotland's independence movement. Scotland's First Minister Nicola Sturgeon announced plans for a second independence referendum, citing a growing desire for self-determination. Recent polls indicate that 55% of Scots now support independence. So, last but not least, but we will now go to listen to a song that was searched by Antonia, and I will look forward to hearing it. I'm Here by Pink. So open up my heart, you can love me or not. Thank you very much, Antonia, for sorting out this great song, which introduces a tiny little bit also you, I guess. So welcome here in the show.
Annabeth, thank you so much for having me.
So the song you sorted out is a powerful anthem that encourages self-acceptance and embracing the challenges and imperfections of life. And I like it also very much. The lyrics convey a sense of resilience, determination, and the willingness to make mistakes in order to truly live. In the verse, Pink expresses a desire to break free from social norms and expectations. She embraces her flaws and indulges in life's pleasures, whether it's making mistakes, experiencing raw emotions, or engaging in passionate encounters. So I really like the song, not only, but also the sense of the song. Why do you have chosen this song, Antonia?
I think you explained very well. Exactly for that reason. It's the song is just so amazing. It's really, showing that every person should live everyone's life to the fullest. Don't be afraid of, judgment. Don't be afraid of making mistakes. And it's such a powerful message, and I really like it.
Yeah, and I think especially what you're saying, don't be afraid to make mistakes. Maybe that could be also our first question after welcoming you in a way you've really earned it. So first, welcome Antonia here in this talk, in this radio show. I'm very happy to have you here. You are born in Berlin, a city which stands also, I think, for what it means to make mistakes and to be able to take a risk and see what happens if you make falling down the walls, right? And it has also something to do with yourself. You were born and raised in Berlin, so I'm happy to know a little bit more about that. What it made maybe with you, and I mean, some entrepreneurs says, "Okay, I was a baby, and I knew already that I would be an entrepreneur." With you, it came also with a high engagement, but with a very true experience you might want to share with us later today. And you stepped with your startup into a field which morely or mainly men step into. But you stepped into this because you saw things which has to be done, and you saw that there is a gap you would like to fill. So I heard that you are also a traveler. And I heard that you also like Sarah Jessica Parker for her powerful being. So maybe we can start with that. You were born in Berlin, and about these two parts of Berlin, East Berlin, West Berlin, has it made something with you, or also the story of Berlin being a divided, former divided city?
Yes, well, that's a big topic, Annabelle. For sure. I mean, I was born right before the fall of the wall, so in crazy times in East Berlin. So my mom, was in labor in the hospital where there was almost no doctor, no nurses because everyone was out on the streets. So there were really crazy times. And I think that had influenced kind of my character as well, because I think I'm very powerful as well, and I have, a lot of power and need to change to make changes. So this was one thing, and then experiencing, Berlin as the city compared to when I grew up and right now, it's very different.
Yes,
To be
indeed.
honest, me personally, I don't differentiate between East Berlin and West Berlin. I know many people do that also in my family. But for me, it's Berlin because every corner in Berlin, every district is so different and vibrant. Or, yeah, that's why I love the city so much. You can have everything. For every person, everyone will find something that you like.
Yeah, I'm completely with you. I think you can love Berlin and you can hate Berlin, but there is nothing in between because Berlin makes something with you. It's not neutral. And I completely agree with you. For me, it was something which was following my early childhood, where my father, as a communist, was involved and always jumping between the sides, east and west. And seeing the differences, and then seeing how it went unifying by standing. And this is, I think, what you said. I would like to point out, Berlin was a very international city also beforehand, and it states, and every area is different. Does it make something with you be in Berlin, getting inspired by this city more than others? Is this a city also where you said where you think cities could be a bunch of inspiration, also determine or make something with your emotions?
For sure. I mean, growing up in Berlin, for me, many things were like so natural and obvious. For example, in my school, we were super diverse. We had like kids from everywhere in the world already, right? And when I left Berlin, when I studied or when I started my first jobs in Southern Germany, I was a little bit shocked that it's not like that everywhere. So, and then suddenly I heard words like, oh, diversity. And I was like, what? Like, why do you talk about diversity? Like, just do it. And because that's how I grew up. We didn't have a name for it, it just was like that. So that's, I think, a big difference. And of course, it impacts you a lot, but you did not really know it when I was a kid, for sure.
Yeah, it was natural, and you grow up maybe in a different way with more open-minded and maybe also with more power because you haven't received those limitations, right?
Correct. Yeah, that's what I would say.
And starting your own business, you said there was a story where you had were waiting for handcrafters, right? And you were frustrated because nobody came, and it was hard to get them. And that was the start of your startup, right?
Yes, that's correct. So actually, when I started the company together with my partner back then, it was not really the plan, like what we're doing or why we're doing it, but we really saw a need. In my case, it was that I had a damage in my apartment. So very standard situation for every person. And of course, someone like a craftsman came, but he came after 3 months. And then, he came. He was too late because of all the traffic. He told me he was complaining. He has so much to do and no people to do the job. And then he looked at the damage for 2 seconds and said, "Okay, thank you. I will approach you next week." And I was a little bit shocked. I was like, "Why are you telling me all the problems you have? And then you're here for a 2 seconds visual check only." It didn't make any sense to me. And coming from a very digitized automotive industry, that's my background. I was like, okay, we need to fix that because it's a problem so many people have, and everyone knows about that. And thinking about the lack of workers we are facing, and the next years it will be we're getting crazier and crazier. So yeah, I really want to tackle it using digitization to solve those unnecessary and costly on-site visits.
And would you say that you made a diff have made a difference since then?
Yes. So that's actually also my motivation when I see the users and the companies really benefiting from it, not sending people like driving for 100, 200 kilometers like to a customer for a 2 minute visual check, but really doing this remote online saves them so much time and money. And also for the worker, it's much more convenient to do the job remote.
Great. I'm very happy to hear more about it, also about your automotive background, because this is also super interesting. So please stay tuned and we continue our conversation in a couple of minutes. Thank you.
The station that makes you feel good.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
The station that makes you feel good.
So I'm happy to talk further with Antonia. And Antonia, I saw in your biography and about your information that you had a great childhood. To be honest, when I wrote, when I read what you've written, I was a bit like, oh my God, that sounds like a really childhood I would have sought it out if I would if I could. And you were in the compulsory of the state's opera in Berlin. You were part of the chorus of kids' chorus of the state opera in Berlin. You were attending a music school, and you were starting piano playing very early. When you look back, what would you say? What made it with you to be in this area? What profitized you from that?
Very good question. For me, what I learned and saw is that you should always do things that you like and that you love. I always had fun and enjoyed it. Yes, it was hard work, a lot of times, but I enjoyed it so much. And also seeing what you can achieve working in a team when you're singing in a choir or playing in an orchestra. The whole team makes it work. It's not just you as a single person or like a single singer. So that's really important to me also in work. And the last thing I would say is also discipline. To really work hard, you have a goal. You have, okay, on that date, you need to go on stage and you need to perform. But to be prepared for that. And during the rehearsals, to make mistakes, to do it again and again and all over again. And even, I remember some rehearsals we did together with Daniel Barenboim, where he got really angry, but in a positive way, because it wouldn't work as he wanted to be. And he would just leave the rehearsal. And imagine there's like a whole choir, a whole orchestra, so many people on stage, and then you're kind of waiting. And I was a kid and I really didn't know what's happening here. But then he came back and I wasn't, I really liked it actually, because I really liked that he showed his emotions. You could understand what he thinks, what he wants to achieve, and that every tiny detail is really important. And that's something I will always remember. And I know that's, I'm very proud, I must say, to have that I was able to work with him together, but also, to have this chance to be on stage in the State Opera in Berlin.
I can imagine. And I like what you said. And I think it's super, super important. I think if more people could imagine the power of team or the power of group, that in an orchestra or chorus, everybody has its own role, but the power is only there when you're all together. And this is a kind of goosebump situation from my point of view, because you really feel, wow, it's getting through your whole body. We are one. This is something I sometimes think it would be great if a lot more people could feel it, because then they understand why it's important to behave resource-oriented, to be friendly to each other, or positive, not talking behind their backs, giving something back for that, what you were given by the nature. What do you think?
Yeah, totally. I agree. I think music in general is like really important, and also being creative. It can also be painting, but like with all the technologies that we have right now and that will come up in the future, I think like kindergarten, school, the whole system need to change. But what keeps, or what is still important, is the creativity from kids, because that's what really brings up new ideas. People will find new ways, new creative ways to tackle solutions in the future. So that's very, very important, and I really hope that kids still have fun with being creative, singing in choirs, playing instruments, painting, do gardening, whatever you like, but not just being on the smartphone.
Yeah, exactly. I like very much what you are saying, that you say first, not smartphone, because this is limiting your idea of the world and also your activity, but also that you point out this creativity in every case. I completely agree with you. And I think it's more important than ever, where you have all the facilities where you don't need it normally for your daily work, and can have for each some digital device. But it's more and more important to stay human, right?
Yes, for sure. Especially in these days, I think we have so many crises, so many negative news every day. But being human and really looking around you, like talking to your neighbors, talking to your family, your friends, like when you go in the grocery store buying something, be friendly, say hi to the people around you. I think this is something where you can really make a positive impact every day. And what I see in Berlin, and that changed from when I grew up in Berlin as a kid, my impression is that back in the days, people were always smiling on the street. Everyone was really positive and friendly and supportive.
Yeah.
Today, I have sometimes the feeling when I'm somewhere and I would fall, no one would care.
Yeah.
And that's what really makes me thinking about the situation, and that's why for me it's really important to make an impact every day, support people on the street, smiling to them, saying hi.
Wow, that's that means a lot to me that you're talking like that, because it's, I feel the same in Berlin, but also in other cities, where I first thought, okay, to protect me against that, is it better to stay the same, so with a poker face, or is it better to just smile or say hello or say something positive? And I decided, as you, to do different, to make an impact. So as you, I greet everybody more in the morning when I'm at the store to buy bread or something. I start small talk with the people, because I would like to bring positive meaning into the world. And I think it's up to everybody to doing this to make a start to live a life worth living in, right?
Yes, 100%. I remember a situation when I was on train and then a guy entered the train and he had like a lot of paintings in his hand he wanted to sell. And I was like, wow, I never experienced that in Berlin. You have like musicians and so on, but not really, someone that is selling paintings. So I started talking to him, like, how come he's doing it? And we had such a great conversation. He said he had like a very successful exhibition once, but then due to COVID, everything crashed, and now he has to really look for every euro he has in the pocket. In the end, I bought a painting. I really also liked it, but just having this exchange and showing interest in other people and their stories, I think, is very helpful also for people. We are humans. We want to be recognized. We want to be heard. So that's things that you can really do every day.
Exactly. I'm so much with you. And interestingly, you stepped first into a part which is technical, which is not about social or emotions first. You stepped into the field of automotive and you worked for Porsche, for example. What was the background of, or what was the reason for this decision? And what was that, what you took out of that, maybe also a special experience you made there?
I studied business, and when you study business, and you watch the news and TV, you always see the big brands, right, from the commercials and so on. And I mean, the automotive industry in Germany is, I think, the biggest industry we have, is very important, very well known. Mm-hmm. So for many people, it's like, the goal to start working there. You have very good salaries and so on. Yeah. It's international. That was important for me, actually, to start a job in an international environment. And I applied for the jobs, and I got it. In the end, working there, I had, I think, a different idea of what it is to work there, right? I mean, I came from an international business school in Norway. And then I ended up in an area near Stuttgart, in a very traditional German company, where things are very slow. I mean, there's always a reason for that. There's no judgment, just how it is. It's very slow. You have long decision-making processes and so on. Mm. And for me, it was interesting to see that. But I knew, okay, wow, now I'm still super free, right? I don't have children. I don't have nothing, like no credits, nothing. I can do what I want. Mm-hmm. So I need some change, right? Because that's not the environment that fits mm-hmm. for me in this situation. Maybe later on, but not right now. Mm-hmm. But then I was really lucky that when I was working with Mercedes-Benz, I started this trainee program. Mm-hmm. And this was a really good program because we were 27 people, I think, in our group, very international.
Super.
We had also like different assignments in different cities, in different countries. So I had the opportunity to go to China and work there. I was super happy about it because that was such a amazing opportunity, like a once in a lifetime thing that you do. And this also made so much with me to really see, wow, it's, for me, it was never about the money, never, like, but really having this experiences going abroad, like to China, working there, getting to know the culture, the people, was for me always the biggest motivation, right? So I was very happy that I could have the chance. Later on, I switched roles. I had different positions within the company. But then later on, I decided to do something totally different. I planned actually to work for an NGO in Norway, collect trash from the coastline, from the beaches and so on, while living on a sailing boat.
Wow. Living on a sailing boat.
Yes, exactly.
Wow.
And this could not. No, I could not. Everything was planned and scheduled, but 2 days before, I planned to go there. COVID came and the first lockdown. So everything was shut down and closed. So I couldn't do that, and that was the situation. Without a job, without an apartment, and just a piece of luggage, I moved in with my parents again and started to work on Ivytex, on my company.
Oh wow! What a great chance COVID gave you, word.
Yes, exactly.
And are you still in this idea of supporting this plastic-free oceans where you wanted to start with?
Yeah, so I really hope one day I can join them. You must know it's all volunteers. I think I'm too old for it already, because usually volunteers are, I think, until age of 30 or so that you can support. But you can support in other ways. You can also, like, you know, donate some money or whatever.
So, I mean, maybe we should talk later about that, because I'm plastic collecting, plastic waste collecting since I'm 7, and founded Green Bites some months ago together with Planet Matters and World Cleanup Day. So we are all in Berlin located, and maybe this is an idea to come together there too.
I participated in the World Cleanup Day, I think also during COVID, but I don't remember exactly the year, but I participated here in Berlin, and I was shocked just in like one street how much trash there is, and especially the tiny pieces. Insane.
It's always when we meet in Berlin, it's first that we say, oh, forget about Berlin. It won't stay more than 15 minutes to collect what is in the area of 150 meters here around us. And then it's always what you say, we are so shocked what you find, and it takes something half an hour, 1 hour, that we have collected all the pieces. And I mean, to be honest, I mean, it's of course not resource oriented to just collect. We have to start by preventing that we don't even use it, that we don't even have to throw it away. And yeah, but maybe we can talk about this later. It's great that you are in this field, that you touched this field already. So let's see, maybe this could be something we can talk further, right?
Yes, I would like to do that. And yeah, really nice that you started this and working in this.
Thank you. But back to you now. We have not that much time left, unfortunately. I mean, you are very organized, you're very disciplined, you're very creative. Are there some hacks you would like to share besides that what you already shared with us?
I think I wouldn't call it a hack, but to be honest, when I came into this whole startup business and bubble, everyone is sending you books you should read and things you should do. And for me, it was there was this one time where I said, okay, you know what? I'm not going to do it. Like, I really took the pressure out of it, because I saw that it's so much pressure that other people like just put on you, and like, okay, you need to wake up at 5 to be successful. You need to do 1 hour yoga, you know, to, and I was like, no, when I wake up, I feel good. I don't have to do anything. So I think this can actually help just take out the pressure from, that's definitely one thing. And the other thing that works for me is really to dedicate time. For me, in these days with the news, usually I read news like all day long. But now with so many negative news, I really said, okay, I watch news for 10 minutes in the morning and that's it for the whole day.
That's great. So you take care of your positive feelings to avoid from too much overwhelming of body crisis from outside, which you even can't solve by yourself, right?
Yes, exactly.
Is it maybe also a kind of a statement that you say, change where you can change, but step away from things you can't change, and take your and put your energy just inside you and this, where you can be a mover?
Yeah, for sure. I think that's very important also when you grow your business, because there are so many stakeholders, so many things you cannot change, you cannot affect. Then don't think about it. Don't care about it. Do the things that you can change, that you can manage, and do them now. And then the other things might disappear from its own, or might change as well. And then maybe later on you can make an impact.
Yeah, maybe one last quick question here for the audience. If someone is interested to get your service, where do you offer currently your service, and in which areas are planned to be offered?
So IVCHEX is currently available like in whole Europe. We have our base and obviously the most customers companies using IVCHEX in Germany. However, we have actually also customers in the UK
Okay, that's pretty good.
and one other country in Europe, but the software is available in every language.
That's super. Thank you so much. It was a pleasure to have you here, Antonia. So looking forward to seeing you soon, and maybe about some further corporations. I have some in mind which could occur. So thank you very much.
Thank you so much for the great questions and excited to talk to you further about new ideas.
Thank you. So we have another commercial break upcoming, and stay tuned because I will show you and present you a very interesting book afterwards.
The station that makes you feel good.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
The station that makes you feel good.
Have you ever thought about the water you drink? And have you ever thought what your thoughts might change there? So it's time to talk about this book here. It's from Masaru Emoto, and some of you might have heard about him. He is an Asian scientist and quite well known for his really groundbreaking messages about water. So Masaru Emoto's The Hidden Messages in Water is a really great exploration into the profound impact of thoughts, words, and emotions on water. Emoto's captivating research reveals that water exposed to positive words and music forms beautiful, symmetrical crystals, while water exposed to negativity forms distorted, chaotic structures. Through stunning photographs and compelling narrative, Emoto demonstrates how our intentions can influence the physical world, encouraging readers to embrace positivity and mindfulness in their daily lives. This book bridges the gap between science and spirituality, suggesting that our consciousness can shape our reality into tangible ways. Emoto's work inspires a greater appreciation for the power of our thoughts and the connectedness of all in life. The Hidden Messages in Water is a must-read for anyone who is interested in the mysteries of the nature, world, and the potential of human consciousness. And it's easy to measure, and I will come later to talk about this a bit. So, background information: Masaru Emoto was a Japanese author, researcher, and entrepreneur, known for his innovative work on the effects of human consciousness on water. He held a doctorate in alternative medicine from the Open International University for Alternative Medicine in India. Emoto's interest in water began in the 1990s when he started experimenting with water crystals, photographing them under a microscope after exposing them to different stimuli. His findings, which showed that water crystals could be influenced by words, music, and prayers, gained international attention and sparked both intrigue and controversy in the scientific community. You can imagine. The special background of The Hidden Messages in Water lies in Emoto's unique approach to understanding the relationship between human emotions and the physical world. His research involved freezing droplets of water and then photographing the crystals that formed. Emoto discovered that water from pristine sources and water that had been blessed or exposed to positive words formed intricate, beautiful crystals. In contrast, water from polluted sources or water exposed to negative words formed irregular, unattractive crystals. A model's work suggests that water, which makes up a significant portion of the human body and the Earth's surface, can store and transmit emotional energy. So it is interesting because it shows a profound connection between human consciousness and the physical world through the transformative power of positive and negative emotions on water. And what is interesting, you can really try it with an easy experience on your own. So 7 tips from the books is choose positive words. Surround yourself with positive words and positive thoughts to influence your environment positively. Practice gratitude. Regularly express gratitude to enhance the quality of your life and the lives of those around you. Be mindful of music. Listen to harmonious, uplifting music to promote well-being and balance. Think also about the words of this music, the song text, which is also important, even if you can't understand it because it's a foreign language. Speak kindly. Use kind and loving language when speaking to others to create a positive impact. Avoid talking behind others with negative words. Bless your water. Bless the water you drink with positive affirmations to improve its energetic quality. And visualize peace. Visualize peaceful and harmonious scenarios to positively influence your surroundings. Meditate regularly. Practice meditation to cultivate a calm and positive mindset, affecting both your inner and outer world. So I would like to summarize this talking about the book with 5 quotes from the author. Water has a memory and carries within it our thoughts and prayers. The vibration of good words has a positive effect on our world, whereas the vibration of negative words has the power to destroy. We start out as a single cell, made primarily of water. If we start our lives with the right kind of thoughts, we can enhance the quality of our existence. And if you fill your life with love and gratitude, you will find yourself surrounded by good things. And by holding the intention of peace towards water, by thinking, speaking, and acting with the intention of peace towards water, water can and will bring peace to our bodies and to the world. So let me continue with a small reading from the book on the hidden messages in water. As I begin reading this book, I'd like to ask you to evaluate your life. More specifically, I'd like you to ask yourself if you're happy. Of course, your definition of happiness will depend upon who you are, but do you have a sense of peace in your heart, a feeling of security about your future, and a feeling of anticipation when you wake up in the morning? Or we can call this happiness, then would you say that at this moment you're happy? I think I can safely say that not all many people will be able to reply with a resounding yes. Most people are unable to say that their life is everything they had hoped it would be. What is it that causes us so much pain? What is going on in the world that prevents so many people from simply being happy? It seems that to me that we are living in an age of chaos. Chaos describes a condition of confusion, indicative of the unorganized matter that existed before the creation of the cosmos. Simply by going about our lives, we find ourselves worn out and fatigued. Newspapers and television bombard us with the information, and at work, we face problems and misunderstandings. The sources of our problems seem numerous and overwhelming. This is likely to be a fact of life no matter where in the world we go. This tiny planet of ours is covered with economic conflict, domestic discord, ethnic prejudice, environmental distress, religious wars, and every other type of problem imaginable. And all the bad news about people suffering, people enjoying the suffering, people getting richer, people getting poorer, the oppressed and the oppressors, reaches us within a matter of seconds from the opposite side of the globe. Who, might we ask, is responsible for all the suffering? The world is becoming an ever more divided, estranged, and complicated place to live. We are already up to our necks in chaos, but the world's troubles seem to be getting deeper and deeper. One thing we all have in common is that we are looking for a way out. Everyone is looking for an answer, and is an answer to simple and effective that it has heretofore eluded us. And a few words from the epilogue. I sincerely hope that we can continue this wonderful discovery of water and of the universe. When I first heard that water constantly continues to arrive on the Earth from the distant reaches of the universe, I was filled with wonderment. I began to think that if water continues to arrive at this pace, the Earth would soon be flooded. From ancient times, and the human race has constantly been subject to damage and destruction caused by water. Almost all cultures of the world have a story of a great flood. There's even scientific evidence that indicates that the Earth was once covered in water. We cannot completely discount Noah and the Great Flood and the tales of the civilization of Atlantis and the Mu continent lost to the sea. The saying that history repeats itself is ultimately true. And so even now, there exists the risk that water will arrive from space and once again cover our planet. This event may still be 1,000 or 10,000 years in the future. But perhaps it is not too early to take action to ward off this disaster. Even now, we frequently hear about floods in all parts of the world. But once, when I found myself fretting about this possibility, another completely different thought came to me. Everything that exists in the universe is parallel. The micro world is a faithful reproduction of the macro world, and the universe is an enormous mandala. This way of thinking leads us to the conclusion that everything that takes place in the universe also takes place within our own bodies. Okay, so in the end, he writes, we love our short lives on this planet, and then we set out on a journey into the universe. I'm not sure how this process works, but we can leave this up to the laws of the universe. Of course, when we make this journey, we will not be in our current physical form, but in the form of water or mist. When my soul is ready to set out on its journey to the cosmos, I fully intend to call out to everyone and say, we're off to see the universe. Let's go to Mars. So thank you for listening to this outstanding book from Masaru Emoto. And even if you don't, if you are not that spiritual, I think it includes also a message for you. Just by being careful and attentive and practicing love and kindness by drinking water or whatever you drink in the morning and during the day. So that brings us to the last part of our talk show. And we will have now one question here from a guy, from Matthew. And let's see what Matthew writes. He is asking me, I hope this letter finds you well. I write you from a place of profound exhaustion and of vulnerability. At 37, I find myself at a crossroads, grappling with a burnout that has left me questioning how to move forward. As a producer in the fast-paced media industry, I've always thrived on the adrenaline rush of meeting deadlines and creating impactful content. My wife, a dedicated gallerist, shares this passion for her career. Together, we've built a life filled with ambition and hard work, but now the weight of it all feels like too much to bear. We have three beautiful children, ages 2, 4, and 6, who are the light of our lives. Yet, the demands of our careers mean that we are often away on business trips, mission precious moments with them. The guilt and the constant pressure to succeed have become overwhelming. Each day feels like a battle. I'm left wondering how long I can keep this up. I feel drained, both physically and emotionally. The joy I once found in my work has faded, replaced by relentless scenes of fatigue. I worry about how this will impact my ability to provide for my family and support my wife and her career. More than ever anything, I fear the toll this is taking on our relationship and on our children, who need us now more than ever. I know that I need to find a way out of this dark place. Thank you. Dear Matthew, thank you for your letter and for sharing your experience with such honesty. It's clear that you're going through an immensely challenging time, and I commend your bravery reaching out for the support. From a psychological perspective, burnout is a state of emotional, physical, and mental exhaustion caused by excessive and prolonged stress. But I think you know that. So in your case, the demands of a high-pressure job in the media industry combined with the responsibilities of raising a young family have created a perfect storm of burnout. Currently, your situation is marked by a deep sense of fatigue, which is really clear. And I thank you to wrote me in this situation. So the future can look much different with the right strategies and support. And I think you know that. Imagine a life where you, in your life, can both pursue your careers while also being present for your children. It's possible to regain your energy and passion, but it will require a shift in how you approach work and life balance. The real obstacles here are multifaced. Firstly, the relentless pace of your career in the media industry leaves little room for rest and recovery, of course. Secondly, the high expectations you place on yourself completely with external pressure from work create a cycle of stress. It's difficult, of course, to break. And thirdly, the guilt of not spending enough time for your family and children, especially, as an emotional burden. So I think it's important for you that you first set up clear boundaries, establish firm boundaries between work and personal life. This might mean setting specific work hours, sticking to them, and maybe your boss don't like it, but it's important for you to do that. Dedicate a family time that is not interrupted by work. Second, delegate and prioritize. This is also, of course, important, comes along with that. Then practice self-care. You are important. Don't get fed always the others. Take care of yourself first, because it won't help any other person if you're emotional at the end of that, what you can resist. And then seek professional support. I mean, I can give you now an answer of a few minutes, but you, of course, need much more support from your family, from your friends, but also from a professional coach or a therapist. Might be good if you take this time also out to concentrate on yourself with professional support. And communicate openly. It doesn't help anybody if you just think about it. It's important to speak honestly about this with your wife, with your boss, with all the people which plays a role in your life by organizing this. And I know that it's not easy to use these tips I gave you, just having heard it for a few minutes, but maybe it will be a start. And make sure that you know that you are the most important person in your life, not anybody else. And I mean, I've done it for so many years, working in the social business voluntarily. And sometimes I've felt really with less energy. And then I learned that it's important that I first care about myself, because then I can care about others. Take time for yourself, and make sure that you feed yourself by sports, by eating something nice, cooking, whatever. Try to find whatever makes you feel good, relaxed, in a positive way. So if you need more of my support, just write me. And that wraps up our episode of Empower. So the weekly radio show dedicated to celebrating the strength, resilience, and limitless potential of women and men around the globe. So remember, this time is a gift for you to discover new inspiration. Don't hesitate to get involved. Your voice is valued, and together we can make a difference. Thank you for being part of our community.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.